So we are going to finish chapter 12, just one verse in chapter 12, and then go on to chapter 13 this morning. But before we do that, let's just recall where we were when last we gathered. We were in a place where we were seeing Peter's imprisoned. And in the midst of Peter's imprisonment, we see what the church was doing. The church was in constant prayer. Constant prayer. And as the church was praying, we saw the deliverance of the Lord God Almighty. And we did discuss that there's a sovereignty of God in play here, because we saw one of a few, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago, James being killed. But then we also see one being delivered. It's the sovereignty of God. Within that, we see the deliverance of the Lord God Almighty. And we see God answering the prayer that these very folks are praying. And then when Peter arrives, they all quickly said, yes, it's him. It's what we've been praying for. No. We saw that's not what took place. It's, okay, yes, Rhoda, you, yep, okay. No, Rhoda, it's just his angel. Because remember, they believed in Hebrew culture that each person had an angel. And it gives us a very important lesson. The Lord God Almighty's will be done. It's not a situation on us. Well, if I'm not praying with enough gusto, it's not going to happen. That's what a lot of false teachers out there want to say. Oh, you're not healed yet? It's because you're not praying with enough faith. Come on, declare it in the name of Jesus. Remember, we just a few sentences ago, I talked about the sovereignty of God. That's part of that whole process. So when we looked at all this, we saw that the prayer was answered. And when they realized, wait, this is Peter. What was happening? There was awe. There was awe. And how did Peter handle it? He didn't then focus on himself. No, what did he do? He motioned to them to keep silent, verse 17 of chapter 12, and he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. There wasn't a minute, there wasn't an iota of time where Peter says, okay, well, focus on me. I'm pretty cool. Look at me. I got out. No. It's like, be quiet. Yeah, I'm here. Look at the Lord. Look what the Lord has done. And may we remember that when the Lord moves in our lives, that's got to be our response, brothers and sisters. Look what the Lord has done. And then he tells them, go tell these things to James and the others. And they go. And then we see him focusing on God, getting the glory. And then Herod, what did he do? He focused on him getting the glory and lets these people come in his big silver garb. And what happened? An angel of the Lord struck him. God's army, he is the Lord of hosts, not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And in this, we see how powerful he is. One angel's delivering, the other angel striking down the one who will not humble himself. And then I love the ending of that passage we were in. But the word of God grew and multiplied. As I've said a few times now, with where we are in Acts and where we are even in the Psalms, we're getting a lot of moments where it's, but you, Lord. But the word of God grew. There is no stopping the Lord God Almighty. He is on the move and there's no stopping him. So our charge last week was threefold: to pray, to obey, and go and tell. How did you do with those three? How are you doing with tarrying in prayer? And I encourage us as a body of believers, if someone within the body, the Lord puts them on your mind, pray with them. If the Lord puts a thought or an idea or a scripture and somebody's connected to it, don't just hold on to it. Go share that. Because we're to edify one another. We're to build one another up. And that's an important piece that we can sometimes forget. So let's keep doing that and obey. When the Lord God Almighty speaks unto you and gives a conviction and says, you got to go do this, obey. Or when you read something and you're like, oh, I really should stop that. It keeps coming up. Well, obey. Knock it off, as they say on Long Island. And then obey. Obey. And then from that point, what do you do? What's the other thing we do? Go and tell. Don't keep the good news of Jesus Christ to yourself. We are to be salt and light. That's what I shared yesterday at the Love Life Walk. And we've got too many believers who want to focus on just being, I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to be known as the weird person. Be known as a Christian. What's that? Jesus people, Jesus lover. Give them Jesus. So now this week, we're going to go on to chapter 13. And as we enter this text, there's a few things I want us to put in our minds to ponder, a few things that we're going to explore as we walk through these verses. We're going to explore obedience to the Holy Spirit, to God, obedience unto God. And it's something that keeps coming up in Acts. There's this Spirit of God that keeps, the Holy Spirit said, the Spirit of God move, that keeps coming up. So we're going to be looking at that. We're also going to be exploring calling. We're going to be exploring calling. And there's a difference, as we're going to see in the text, of God sending forth and the way that the Lord sends forth versus self sending forth. Because oftentimes, self sends forth. I love, one of our elders has a saying that he says that I just love it. Jack, seminary does not a pastor make. It's a fun little saying. I enjoy that. And in it, it just reminds us of something. It reminds us of the fact it's a calling that the Lord God Almighty gives. And we're going to be reminded of calling in our text today. We're going to be exploring and reminded about fasting and praying. Fasting, something that can kind of be lost or forgotten in our culture today, yet something that's in the Word of God. It's a discipline that we all must ask the Lord, is there something, is there a season, there's certain things where fasting is needed. We're also going to see when steps of obedience take place, obeying the Lord God Almighty, doing what the Lord God says to do, guess what's going to come? Opposition. Surprise, surprise, hashtag not. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be resistance. A passage that kind of reminds us of some of this, our Lord God Almighty gives us in Matthew chapter 13. And when we look at this, it's this idea of the wheat and the tares. But when we look at Matthew 13:24, another parable he put forth to them saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants said to him, do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares, bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. And many of us know this story, and we get the understanding of it from the Lord starting in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into his house, and his disciples came to him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all those that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Saints, when we see passages like that, I really do pray the fire of evangelism and telling people about Jesus and praying for the lost, may that be sparked within your heart. But realize within the work, when the Lord is moving, within the work, tares come up. Opposition comes up, and we're going to see that. And in it, we're going to be reminded of the necessity of the Holy Spirit's empowerment to keep moving forward, to prevail, to keep going. And we're going to see in this text, the Holy Spirit's vital. We can't keep ignoring him. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's our teacher. He's our comfort. So that's where we're going to be going this morning. And by the end of this passage, we're going to also just see our Lord is the same God, and he always prevails. And when he's wanting one to come to belief, the enemy is going to do all the things. But when the Lord's got him on the hook and reeling him in, he's going to reel him in. And that's the beauty of our King. So brothers and sisters, let's stand all together and we'll read Acts chapter 12, verse 25, and we'll go to verse 3 of chapter 13 and get to have a journey through names all together. It'll be good. And remember, we stand, so we're just all together giving our undivided attention to the Word of God. All right, so we read all together, starting in Acts chapter 12, verse 25. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they also took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Father God, we thank you again for your word. And Lord, as we prepare to walk through these verses, empty us of ourselves. Lord, remove preconceived notions or ideas, that we're just fully open to what you want to speak through the Spirit of God. Lord, have me out of the way. Anoint me, fill me to overflowing with your Spirit, to bring forth what you need for your people. Lord, your people are here this morning to meet with you, to know you more. Lord, you know their hearts. You know where they stand this morning. Lord, I ask, as your under shepherd, please speak to each person here. Teach each person here. Grow each person here. Lord, have your way. We pray this to the name above all other names, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grab a seat. So we start this, the word grew and multiplied, we saw last, and now we're getting back to Barnabas and Saul. And remember, what we last saw of these two was the end of chapter 11 in verse 27. And in these days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. And remember, when we looked at this, first century historian Josephus verifies that this all took place. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. And how did they do that? This they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So we see now we're picking up there. They're returning from that work. They're returning from what they had to do. And they return only when they had fulfilled their ministry. And this is an important thing, because it doesn't point to that Barnabas and Saul, they're there, and then some other opportunity comes up, or maybe somebody gives a little whisper, "Hey, why don't you come do this?" No, no, no. This is the task that the Lord has given to do right now. I go and I complete that task. I fulfill the ministry that the Lord God has given. And that ministry was given, it was showed by the Spirit of God, Agabus having that gift of prophecy in that moment. And they also took with them, now as they're going, John, whose surname was Mark. And this is this piece where we're going to start to see the bringing others on for co-laboring. And as we go on in Acts, we'll see how that goes. Sometimes there's tension, there's parts, there's coming back together. But they're now bringing with, and now they're coming back, chapter 13, now in the church that was at Antioch. Remember, we saw the church at Antioch coming. This is this Gentile area, and the gospel's come forth. The church is now there. This is now going to become a central part of Acts. As we go through, we're going to see Antioch becoming a central part, just like Jerusalem in this first bit was. Now Antioch becomes a central part. And there we see what? There were certain prophets and teachers. Prophets, the one revealing the word, teachers, the one expounding on the word, and offices and ideas that we see carry on till this day. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Chapter 4 of Ephesians, a beautiful chapter which expresses unity in the body. And that unity comes from the Spirit of God showing, hey, this is your gifting, this is your gifting, and each person walking in obedience to the gifting the Lord has given them. And we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And what's the purpose? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. More purpose behind these, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Speaking the truth in love. Notice the truth never goes away. And we're going to even see that as this goes on. When they get to their next spot, they're preaching the truth. But it's the heart behind it. Love. May grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So we see this, there's these offices, and it's way back at the beginning. We see right here in Acts where we are, and then we see in Ephesians, these are there, and there's a purpose. And there's a purpose from the men that are going to be named in a moment. And that purpose, they're equipping the saints. They're equipping and preparing for the work of the ministry. And brothers and sisters, realize if you're sitting in one of the comfy maroon chairs this morning and you call Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill, your church, you have a gifting and a purpose within this body of believers. And I like to remind us too, because the enemy can whisper all these, well, you know, I don't know how to dot, dot, dot. Look at this book that we're working in Acts. The Spirit of God gives the how. The Spirit of God gives that. Well, I'm kind of older. Well, you don't retire from being a child of God. So you still got work to do. Buckle up, cowboy. We don't retire. We keep going. We keep running the race, and there's a purpose for it, because that's what causes growth. That's what builds the church. So when we see something like there were certain prophets and teachers, be asking, Lord, what is it that you are asking me to do? So now let's go through who these are. Barnabas, who we are aware of, and the encourager. Simeon, who was called Niger. This is now, based on what we see here, this is Simeon. Some will point that this is the same one who carried the cross for Jesus, as we see in Luke. Speculation there that some will point to. But when we look at this, this is the mention now of a black African. That's what we're getting here. That's what we see when we have him listed there. Called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and that's coming from the Roman province of Libya. Then we see Menean, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and that's an interesting little bit to get there, because you've got Menean, who's serving the Lord, and then you've got him growing up with Herod the Tetrarch, who beheaded John the Baptist, and gives a little reminder right away of the reality of duality. You're either going to serve God, or you're going to serve the enemy. Right in that, just from those two, and Saul. What I find so interesting there is, and why I point out this is a black African that we see here, we live in a culture that's so divisive right now. We live in a culture that's so divisive. You know, I go back to a few weeks when I shared a message on Charlie Kirk, and it became, I'm a sellout, I'm a white supremacist, I'm all these different things. It's like, no, I'm just a child of God who stands for the Word of God. And what the Lord lays and convicts on my heart to share. And when we look at this passage, Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Menean, Saul, it's like, whoa, look at this. The Lord God Almighty just uses anybody that's dedicated to him, that's his, and that has open hands. Lord, what do you want me to do? Because what does the Lord look at? What are we reminded that he looks at? The heart. The heart. The heart is where the Lord focuses. So we've got these individuals listed, and some of them are prophets, some of them are teachers, and they're pouring into the believers at Antioch. They're pouring in, they're working for the church, and then we get verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So a few things we have to look at here. First, we see this idea of them ministering to the Lord. It's an interesting thing because when we think about ministering, you don't often think, okay, I'm going to minister to the Lord right now. What do you think of? I'm going to minister to so-and-so. How can I minister to this person? But we see here they're ministering to the Lord, and that reminds us of Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, rational service, spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. They're doing what the Lord has called them to do. And as they do what the Lord has called them to do, they're ministering unto the Lord. And to minister unto the Lord, guess where we need to be? We need to be in a place where we're a living sacrifice. And it's interesting, if we think of, I like to remind us, look at where the Lord has us in Scripture at the same time, right? So what psalm were we in this last Wednesday? Psalm 95. And as we looked at Psalm 95, it's a beautiful psalm of worship. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord, he is the great God and great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. It's this great invitation to worship. And then it looks to creation. Then it gives us the posture of worship. Let us worship, bow down, kneel before the Lord God, our maker. But then remember where we saw this psalm ended. The second half. Today, if you will hear his voice, the urgency of today, verse 8, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And what did we talk about on Wednesday? The heart behind our worship. Because it's easy to go through the motions. Anybody can go through the motions. I'm here, I come in, maybe take a little sip of my water. Worship set starts, I stand up. Oh, yeah. I'm praising. I'm going through the motions. But where's your heart? Where's your heart? Where's the heart behind the worship? Is the heart genuine? Is the heart fully yielded and surrendered unto him? Because brothers and sisters, these that we see listed here, as they ministered to the Lord, those are hearts fully surrendered. That is genuine worship. That's worship in spirit and truth. Remember, that's what Jesus says he desires. You want to worship in spirit and truth, you got to live Romans 12, 1 and 2. You got to be a living sacrifice. And a living sacrifice does what we see in verse 2. They ministered to the Lord and, what's the next word? Fasted. And this is a discipline that is lost in our culture and in Christian culture. But when we think of fasting, what is the purpose of fasting? It's that we are moving ourselves out of the way to only focus on the Lord. Mark 9, 29 says, when there's the mute child and the disciples aren't able to do it, what does Jesus say? This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting. And it's not to then be misunderstood that what Jesus is saying is, if you want it to happen, you got to pray and fast and then it's going to happen. No. That's where we're kind of forgetting the sovereignty of God. But that prayer and fasting is reminding it gets completely all of self out of the way and total dependence on the Lord God Almighty alone. When was the last time you fasted? Maybe a decision that you were going through as a family, maybe a trial, maybe something the Lord's stirring your heart on. Have you taken that time? Do you ever take that time to just say, Lord, I'm just gonna, what do you want me to put away and take a break from? Because it's not just food. It's the thing we always go to. Food is there too, but what is it? And let me put it away to focus on you. What's in the way? And let me put it out of there and get rid of it. So as they're ministering, as they're obeying the Lord, as they're doing what the Lord God Almighty has called them to do, they're fasting. And in that moment of fasting, when you actually empty yourself, and when you actually say, Lord, I just want to focus on you alone, so that I just hear you alone. I remember in the journey of the transition, when it was just the conversations between Pastor David, myself, and our brides, there were many times where it was like, all right, Lord, today's just a day. I need to just fast. I need to hear you, Lord, because this is a serious thing to take on. I know there's a calling, but Lord, I need to hear you. And every time he spoke so clearly. But it's a discipline that needs to be done. And look what follows. The Holy Spirit said. God speaking. Remember when we looked at Psalm 95, we also looked at Hebrews 3, which says what about quoting Psalm 95? The Holy Spirit says. I point that out because we forget and we've put the Holy Spirit in this box. I don't want to think about the Holy Spirit. Well, look at Acts. Look at the Word of God. Triune God. Three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Can't ignore him. And the Holy Spirit said, and now gives this calling. Now. Not in a few days. Not when they feel like it. Now. And Lord, when the Lord says now, go. Okay? Don't wait on that. When the Lord says now, that's a yes, Lord, I will go. Now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So a few things to look at here. First, we remind ourselves, every single one who is a child of God, Ephesians 2 reminds us, there's something he has planned for us. Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. Workmanship meaning we're his poem, we're his work of art, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And all before this, it points to the sacrifice that he's given. And because of that, there's work that he's called us to do. So then we pause for a second. Saints in the house, are you doing what the Lord's called you to do? And I want to remind you, if you're married, that's a calling. That's a calling. If you're a parent, mom or dad, that's a calling. Husband, wife, that's a calling. Where you're working, that's a calling. And there's other spheres where he has you set to do that. And in this, there's a specific purpose that he has. And notice what he says when he's asking for them to come. Separate to me. When the Lord God Almighty is calling one to specifically ministry for him, and this is applicable to other areas where the Lord calls you to do things, there's a separation unto him. Because there's going to be things that you've got to say, nope, no more. Or nope, this isn't the top priority anymore. The Lord is calling me to do this, therefore I need to separate unto him. And I need to crucify A, B, C, D, E, F, G, all these things. My poor honey, when we were in the journey of courting and dating, she's all excited. She knows that this is coming soon. And I'm praying. I read Ephesians 5:25, and the Lord hit me with a ton of bricks. And I had to have that talk. You know, I know we think an engagement's coming, but it's probably going to be about another year. Because there was stuff the Lord needed to work on with me. So that when I got on a knee and said, will you be my wife? That work was set for him. It wasn't just about how fast can I get this done. There was work that needed to be done. He needed to separate me to him. And let me tell you, there was stuff he needed to knock out, chisel out, to separate to him. So when the Lord's calling, there's things he's going to say, you need to separate to me. That's why we live a life of Luke 9:23, rise, deny yourself daily. Because when you live a life of surrender, when you live a life of crucifying self, when the Lord calls you, you're ready to be separated unto him. And we see by how he calls Barnabas and Saul, the encourager and the educated one, now he knows they're ready. And it's interesting, remember what he said of Saul to Ananias, Acts 9. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine, to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him many things he must suffer for my name's sake. He has a purpose for him. He has a calling for him. So it's now there's a separation unto him for the work that he's done. So then what do they do? Then, having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. That fasting continues on. That praying continues on. And then there's the commissioning. It's not as though the laying on of hands, there's a, okay, this is the magic moment. They put the hands on, the Holy Spirit juice is gonna make them shake. No, that's not what it is. It's as we saw here March 5th, 2023, when Pastor David said, this isn't anything other than confirming what the Lord's already done. And that's what takes place. And then they send them out. And now we see an example of a church sending out missionaries. They're going forth. And notice when they went forth, before Barnabas and Saul left, they analyzed the survey of the demographics of the region that they were going to. And oh no, they didn't. Sorry. They read the textbook on missionary guides so that they knew the rules of, no, they didn't. What'd they do? They listened to the Spirit of God. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Unless someone, you know, text me or email me, you put down intellect. I ain't putting down no intellect. Okay, come on now. I'm not putting down intellect. I've done the studies on that. What I'm reminding us is anchor in the Word of God and the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit of God. And let him fill you. Let him lead you. Let him guide you and boldly go forth to what he's calling you to do, what he's asking you to do. That's what it's about. Because I believe we've got too many children of God on the sidelines where the Lord wants to use you for something, but you're sitting there going and approaching it from the world's eyes. Well, I don't have this degree. I don't have this training. I don't have that. I don't have blah. You got the Spirit of God inside of you. What more do you need, brothers and sisters? You've got the Word of God. You've got the Spirit of God. You've got brothers and sisters within the bride of Christ. Come alongside one another. Tarry in prayer with one another and go forth. And then I'll tell you, the Spirit of God, if there's more things you need to learn, he will lead you to them. And you'll learn it. I can say 2.5 years into this, there's certain things where I'm doing certain teachings. Lord, you're going to do a dive on this. Okay, let's do it, Lord. What should I read? Show me. Teach me. Let the Spirit of God do that. So then we see going on, verse 4, so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus, and when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. Can we put up that map? So this is gonna give us an understanding kind of the journey that we're going to see Paul go on in this first bit of there. So we see he's at Antioch, then he's going down to Seleucia. That's about 16 miles. Then he's going to sail from Seleucia to Salamis. Follow that arrow with the one. That's 130 miles that we've gone now. And we're in Cyprus. Cyprus, it's interesting because you could say, well, why are they going there? If we remember in Acts chapter 4, who's from Cyprus? Barnabas. So the Lord's, you know, gets to go where the Lord is calling him and gets a little revisit back where he was. And when they arrived there, what do? Preached the word of God. They don't preach doctrines of men. They don't preach their hot topic idea. They preach the word of God. And that's an anchor that can never be lost in the work of God. And this is in the synagogues because culturally at that time, the learned men could come and they could teach. And they have John with them. And when they had gone through the island of Paphos, so now they're going from Salamis to Paphos, that's the two. And that journey is 90 miles or so. They found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Bar meaning son, son of Joshua, son of Jesus. And this is why that was a very common name at the time. That's why we'll sometimes see the pointing of Jesus of Nazareth, who was with the proconsul being the governor, because Cyprus at this time would be a Roman senatorial state. And the proconsul is basically like the governor. Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. It's reminding this guy, he knows a lot. And even knowing a lot, what does he want? Well, we'll see. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. So they have this whole process of calling, of going forth. They're listening to the Spirit of God. And as they obey, the Lord's opening doors. And the door he opens, this ruler, this governor, this ruling one, the highest ruler in that region, wants the word of God. But Elymas, the same one who's Bar-Jesus, this is the sorcerer, for so his name is translated. That name is the Greek one, the Greeks that were acquainted with him, that's how they would call him. What did he do? He withstood them. Withstood meaning going against, opposing, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Obedience to God, opposition from the enemy. No surprise. And don't be surprised, brothers and sisters. You take a step of faith to do what the Lord God Almighty is calling you to do. And so, why is that? I'm getting attacked. Yeah, tomorrow we'll work on colors. That's going to happen. The Lord's going to have those moments take place. And it refines you. It grows you. And guess what? That's where Spirit of God comforts you, holds you, ministers unto you. That's why we write his word on our hearts. So that when that opposition comes, we stand strong. We're there. So Elymas is like not wanting this. Think why. This sorcerer's linked to the governor. He's got influence. He's got his ear. He's got an ability to get things going. If this guy now suddenly becomes a Jesus follower, what does that mean for me? So he tries to stand in the way. Then Saul, who is called Paul, and you'll notice in this we have different names coming because there's a Hebrew name, there's Greek name, Saul Hebrew, Greek Paul. We're going to see him referred to that more now. Filled with the Holy Spirit. And remember, we've talked about when you're in obedience and you're doing what the Lord asks, the Lord's going to fill you to overflowing in moments when he needs you to go forth. And we're going to see Paul in this moment filled and have the gift of faith to go forth and give a rebuke that is the Lord God Almighty through him. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "O, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" Reality of duality. You're either going to be filled with God or you're going to be filled with things that aren't of God. And he calls it out right here. It's a firm rebuke. Points to the reality of the duality. The door's open, the opposition's coming, and the Lord God prevails. And now indeed, he goes on, "the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. I find it fascinating, if we think about the road in Damascus, Paul is blinded. Now, with him, we know how it turns out. The scales come off. There's repentance. We don't know how things turn out for Elymas. But we realize there's a big thing here the Lord is saying. Because remember, as we go through Acts, there's moments where the Lord has some firm judgments to opposition to him. Because what does he say about his church in Matthew 16, 18? The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And in this moment, it's saying, hey, 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 you're trying to get one that wants to get my word away from that? No. That's spiritual blindness. Now there's a physical reality to that. Makes us have to think, what am I filled with? What am I filling myself with? What am I consuming? And then realize in our world today, we've got a lot of people wandering blind. Are you being light? Are you shining the light? Then the proconsul believed. What a beautiful thing. Once again, opposition comes. The Lord God Almighty keeps moving. The Lord God Almighty prevails because it's his church. And he's on the throne. When he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. And notice that astonishment that draws unto the belief is the teaching of the Lord. It's not that he gets lost in this miracle that happened. Okay, I have to believe now. It's the teaching of the Lord. God prevails. God continues to do the work that he's planning through these faithful, spirit-filled, surrendered saints. So as we look at that, few things to ask ourselves. Where are you in obedience to the Lord God Almighty? And maybe you're here and you're taking some steps of faith. Is there any opposition coming? I saw a few heads start shaking really quickly. But is there opposition coming? And if there is, enter into prayer. Trust the Lord. Trust in him. And the piece that as we look at this text for this body, as I prayed and said, Lord, what's the heart that you have of this for Calvary Chapel, Chapel Hill in this moment? And it can be tied to the charge, application, whatever you fancy calling it. I like charge. How's your communion with the Spirit of God? How's your communion with the Spirit of God? Because as we walk through this, the ministry that Paul and Barnabas were fulfilling at the start of this was revealed by the Spirit of God. Then they're now going back and they're in Antioch and they're ministering and they're fasting and they're speaking unto the Lord and the Holy Spirit speaks to them. And then they're given a calling and then they're fasting and praying. They obey that calling and then the Holy Spirit sends them out. And when opposition is faced, the Holy Spirit gives Paul the words that are needed. How is your communion with the Spirit of God? Luke chapter 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? What's your communion with the Spirit of God? And are you asking? Are you seeking? And the other piece, the proconsul believed. Do you believe? Is Jesus your Savior? Because it's easy to say, yeah, yes, he is. Okay, when did you come to know him? When's your name written in the book of life? Just growing up, saying, well, I always grew up Christian. Okay, I want to interrogate that with you a little bit. When did you make that moment to say, Jesus is my Savior? Jesus is my King. I surrender all unto him. Is there anybody here this morning who's never done that but wants to do that? That the Lord stir in your heart to say, you're mine. I need you, Jesus. Is there anyone here this morning? Come on up here, brother. What's your name?
Nathan.
Okay. So we're going to pray with you, and you and I want to just talk to you. So met you earlier, and so you want to give everything to the Lord God Almighty, and you want him to be your Savior. Amen. I'm just going to ask you to pray. Father God, I thank you for my brother's prayer. Lord, for his prayer, repenting, for his prayer, asking for your Spirit to fill him, and Lord, for you to be his Savior. Father God, you hear Nathan's prayers. And Lord, I thank you that this day you've added one to the book of life. Lord, we rejoice with this brother. And we say, praise you, Jesus. Father, have your hand upon him, Lord. Help us to come alongside our new brother in Christ, Lord Jesus, to build him in you, to grow him in you, Lord Jesus, that, Father God, this man just see all that you want him to do for your glory, Lord. Father, it was somebody in an Uber telling him to check this place out, and Lord God, help him to see the way you orchestrate all things to bring that one to you. In the powerful, incredible name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Ooh. Welcome to the family, bro. Grab a seat. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We serve an incredible God, and he's on the mission to bring those who need salvation unto him. Brothers and sisters, when we leave this place, go and tell. Go and tell. We got to be obedient to the Lord, obedient to the Spirit of God. Because as your pastor, I'll be real, that was one of those moments where it's like, okay, Lord, you're asking me to do this. Okay, I'm going to obey you, you alone. And praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Father God, we give you thanksgiving for this day. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you've met with us today and taught us, Lord Jesus. Father God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this place, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you help each to grow more and more closer and closer to you, to be the men and women that you desire, that you, Lord Jesus, need them to be. And for your glory, Lord. Father, there's folks there this morning who need that filling afresh of your Spirit, Lord, who need that fresh reminder from you alone, Lord. If that's you, just raise your hand and we're going to pray. Father God, we pray for those that just need that filling afresh of your Spirit. You see them, Lord. You know them, Lord. Fill them with your Spirit, God. Fill them to overflowing, Lord, that they desire more of your word, more time with you. Lord, that they surrender unto you, that they just say, Father, I'm yours. Removing what's in the way to commune with you as you lead. Please, Lord Jesus. Fill them afresh with your Spirit, Lord. Fill them afresh. And Father, we thank you for our brother Nathan. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God bringing him to you. And Lord, we thank you for a new brother in Christ. Lord, that already just stood for his King. Use him for your glory. Use my brothers and sisters here, Lord Jesus. And Father, continue to have your way in and through our lives. In the incredible, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray this. Amen. Have a beautiful and blessed afternoon, brothers and sisters.